Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You want your 30-minute classics?
Not me.
Big meaty man slapping meat.
Kicking off the heat, yeah, it's time to go. Slapping me, wrestling, stealing the show. Tuesdays, Fridays, we bring it on air. Step into the ring if you're ready to care.
To the next round in this best of three series. So let's go Red Sox as we make our fight towards the World Series pennant. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about that right now, right? We got some wrestling conversation. We got some pro NFL football conversation to talk about. And before we get to all of that, I would like to remind everyone to like, share, subscribe, whether it's audio, whether you're listening to it on YouTube. Leave comments if you can, depending on what you're listening on, what service. Leave a review if you're listening to audio, right? And share this podcast around. What the aim of the show is, while we talk about wrestling, and that's a center point of the show, and while football is the center point of the show, ultimately this is a community-run podcast, right? And so, which is why there are questions from the Discord. That's the last segment before we go home. Any conversation you want to have can happen in that segment, right? And so with that, I want to start with two opening thoughts before we go in the ropes and before we go forth and deep with the main topics, right? I want to preface this first one, right? Understand that the vibe of this show is a little bit sarcastic. It's a little bit comedy with a little bit of truth, right? And so I don't need any of the social justice warriors coming after me because of this segment, right? And this segment is prefaced again by the idea that some of this is sarcasm, some of this is, you know, just my opinion. But we also need to know the context of the nickname that I'm about to say about a certain group of people, and that is the current presidential administration has come out and said that Tylenol taken during pregnancy could lead to higher rates of autism in children. To talk about that story, I personally wonder, like, did we account for the fact? Were these kids vaccinated? Because I think there's a lot more at play than just Tylenol that's leading to the fact that American kids are the most unhealthiest kids on the face of the planet that the history has ever seen. We're talking like 600% more chances of getting autism, ADHD, some sort of neurological disorder, some sort of autoimmune disorder. I could go down that rabbit trail. I don't know if I buy into Tylenol being the, you know, it wouldn't, I'm not going to put it past Big Pharma, but have there been any studies to show that this is for certain the cause Or could Tylenol being mixed with, you know, the fact that we give kids the growing number of vaccines that a kid has very early in life is approaching 100. Right? And that's crazy. Like, there are vaccines now in certain states where you come out of the womb, you take your first breath, and on the first day you come out of the womb that you are born, you're getting vaccinated. There are some states who do that, right? And that's not what this is about, but you know, sort of go on that rabbit trail. I don't know if I buy the story that Tylenol causes it, because I don't know if we've done any studies that, right, to do a proper scientific study on this, you would have to have a normal kid who goes through the vaccine program. You would then have to have the placebo that is neither vaccinated or has Tylenol given to it. You would then have to have another study where they're not vaccinated, but they're given Tylenol, right? And so I don't know if that study's been done, but we're going to go on the information that Tylenol probably, allegedly, increases the opportunity of ADHD and autism. Now, I mentioned that because what I really want to talk about is Discord. Now, I love Discord. I think Discord is a great app. I'm one of the few conservatives who were really upset about what happened to Charlie Kirk, but not upset that it was planned on Discord. I don't think you can blame Discord. I don't think you should regulate Discord because of it. I'm not going to be one of these people. I'm going to be very consistent that I didn't think they should monitor or control TikTok, and I don't think the government should regulate or control Discord. Now, are there criminal activity going on Discord? Sure, absolutely. In the government, if they find evidence that follows the rights given to everyone, do I have issues with people on Discord who are, for lack of better term, like anonymous accounts? I have a little bit of a problem with anonymous accounts. I do. But that's not even the topic I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is, so my experience, if I could talk, my experience with Discord has been fairly unusual. Not I'm not the standard demographic for the typical Discord user, right? For me, it was wrestling, but mostly casual fans who, right? Or honestly, what really got me into Discord were different communities within religion and debate and history and more specifically like Christian Discord servers. Where we would, you know, treat it sort of like a community of Christians, and we would discuss different theological topics, and right, and that was my sort of exposure to Discord, my experience with Discord. Right, I'm not a big gamer. Right, I play games like, but I mostly play sporting video games, Madden. You know, I'm a big, you know, auto sports, you know, NASCAR fan, so the NASCAR games, Madden, college football, Formula One, WWE games. Those were the games that I played. I never really played Call of Duty. I didn't get into Fortnite. I play GTA. But outside of that, that's really the only outside of sporting type game that I've ever played. I'm not big into the other games and the other categories, and that's just not my thing, right? And a lot of what Discord is the gaming community, and I've never really been involved in that. And the other side of it is the sort of anime communities that are on Discord. And I'm I've never watched. Well, let's say this. Depends on how you define anime. Like, when I think of anime, I think of Dragon Ball Z, the stuff, you know, the Japanese stuff. Like, I'm not thinking of Avatar. Like, I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, and apparently that is anime. Okay. If that's what you want to define it as. It was on Nick at Night, or Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., so I watched it. I enjoyed the show. Right? But, you know, Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, and I can't name any of the others because I don't watch it. I find that genre of entertainment. Look, if that's something you watch, more power to you. I find it a little bit weird, if I'm being honest. If I'm going to be honest, I find it a little bit weird. Right? But here recently, I've been sort of, my experience has changed to where I'm in a server now where that is a large amount of the amount of people in this server. Now, this server, I'm be honest with you, I'm going to set this up as it's a Christian dating Discord server. And you're like, bro, that's desperate just to get on the apps. Well, the apps don't work for me. Well, why don't the apps work for me? Because I'm very picky. You have to have the same beliefs as me, and I'm a very controversial person, right? And not every single belief, but you have to be, you know, I think that the best relationships, you have to have something in common, right? I'm not here to say you have to be a New England Patriots fan. No. But you have to believe the same worldview as me. No, you know, I'm sure there are great people out there who are Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and Jewish, atheist, agnostic, whatever you want to call it. If you aren't Christian, though, you have a different worldview. And when it comes to things like raising kids and having a family, when you don't have the same worldview, it becomes difficult, right? And so the number one requirement I have is you must be Protestant Christian, right? We have to have that same worldview. And then I would prefer you have the same political opinions that I, again, not the same opinions on every single topic, but conservative and liberal don't mix very well when it comes to how do you raise the kids. Are you going to homeschool? Are you going to send them to government education? Like when that comes into play, you would wish that you probably would have discussed worldview at the beginning of the relationship. And so I'm very picky, right? And so apps like Tinder and Bumble, those are hookup apps. I'm not interested in that. Hinge is okay, but again, there's such a small population of women that just fit those two preferences that it's very difficult to find that on one of these dating apps, especially in the South where I live, where I'm a Southern boy through and through, but I'm a city boy. I'm not one of these redneck hillbillies that live out in the mountains that like to go hunting and fishing. And it seems like all the Christian conservative girls, they want someone with the jack up trucks and that go hunting and fishing. And I'm just not attracted by that. I'm just, it's not me. I'm not going to fake who I am. I'm a city boy. I have no issue with people who do that. But it's just not me. Right. But then on the other side, the more city girls that fit Christian conservative are super preppy. And that's also not me, because I grew up poor, right? and that's like, I know the struggle of, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of these girls don't. And they're expensive, and they have expensive hobbies, and they want to go to Starbucks every morning. And like, I ain't got the money for that. Right. And so let's just say that the dating world is hard when you're preference central like I am. And so dating apps don't work, right? They're not designed to work to begin with, right? Hinge could market their app as designed to be deleted all you want. But when they push buy premium every 20 minutes and they only give you 7 likes a day, it feels like, they're there to make money, right? So I find this Discord server that's Christian dating. And oh boy. So this is where the preface comes in and why I bring up Tylenol and all of that, and I waste the first 15 minutes of this podcast ranting on this, is I did not realize how, I'm just going to be offensive for the sake of it, how autistic the younger generation, because we have people in here from 18 years old to like 40 something years old. And there's like 3,000 members in this Discord group. And some are in relationships. Some are even like found their husbands or wives in the group and they just stayed for friendships. I'm not quite certain why you would want to stay in a dating Discord server if you're married. But, you know, that's a whole different conversation. And so I didn't realize that Discord is full, and this is where what might be the offensive nickname comes in. I didn't realize that Discord is full of what I'm going to label Tylenol Timmies. Like, I didn't realize how much the generation younger than me, like, I'm 28, technically a millennial, I think. I don't know the generation. I know whatever cuts off at 96. Whatever that generation is, I was born in 97. So I think I know I'm not Gen X. I might be a millennial. I don't know. Nor do I really care about all of that. But the people from like 18 to like 25, the sort of Gen Z-er generation, I never realized how autistic these people are. Like, I thought I was a little bit weird, a little bit nerdy. I don't know. It's, I like the group because there are some people that I'm interested in and have talked to. But then there are some, especially the dudes, right? Some of the dudes in this group, and there's already like a stigma on like church kids, right, of being sort of a little bit antisocial, introverted, super nerdy. Like I know some of those kids growing up, right? Then you put them in a situation where like they've never dated before and they're trying to figure this out, and they're too innocent. And then they also have autism to throw on top of that, or some sort of neurological disorder. It's kind of a fun experience, but at the same time, there's a lot of cringe that gets said in these groups. And I just want to put that out there, that I never realized how many Tylenol Timmies are out there in the world. And I know I just wasted the first 18 minutes of this podcast talking about autism and ranting on it, but that's how we were going to start it. That's what makes this fun for me and the community. Let's move on to the next opening thought. Continuing along the lines of sort of the gaming community, EA Sports apparently has been bought out by the Saudis. Now, let's be honest, this deal is 100% so that they can own EAFC, or what used to be known as FIFA, before FIFA lost the contract with ESPN, or not ESPN, excuse me, EA Sports. So FIFA was the game, and then they didn't re-sign with EA Sports, and now it appears like Saudi, who has a good relationship with FIFA, will now own EA Sports through their investment fund. The public investment fund, by the way, is the people who paid WWE to come to Saudi, and who paid for, is it Ronaldo who plays for their soccer team? They got billions upon billions of dollars that they just throw into different, you know, entities of entertainment and sports. What I find interesting as well is part of the group is an investment group called, I think it's called Silver Rock. Silver Rock is an investor as well in a whole lot of apps and companies and stuff that I saw. But they're also invested in Endeavor. Endeavor is the parent company of UFC, WWE merged together, TKO, right? So EA Sports already has UFC games. My question with this, and what I think is going to happen, is it all comes full circle. Everyone, you know, there's backroom deals, there's crony corporatism. This isn't capitalism by any means. It's 100% rich friends circle jerking each other off to get deals done that benefit each all of them and nobody else. I have a feeling EA Sports will be awarded, and more so because they are essentially owned by the investing group that invests in TKO. I think WWE games will be made by EA Sports in the future. I don't know how long the 2K deal goes for, but I have a feeling that EA Sports will take over the games in the not-so-soon future. All right, so let's go in between the ropes, or what we would like to say, in the ropes, as we talk about the world of pro wrestling. So first, I didn't predict No Mercy. I'm gonna be completely honest. I forgot it was supposed to be last week, or else I would have done a prediction. I liked the event. I thought it was decent. I'm not going to sit here and say it was the greatest, you know, NXT show of all time. It wasn't. I thought we had some good matches. I think as we continue to build towards the TNA versus NXT drama, and we build that, and we, right, it's interesting. Obafemi loses the title. That was a surprise to me, but I kind of figured it would happen, knowing or seeing that none of the other titles changed hands. And so I liked the show. I thought it was a good showing for NXT. As we head in towards the next major PLE-style NXT show being Halloween Havoc. But as we lean into the now newly named, so it's kind of, you know, good timing that we started this late and not at 7 o'clock like I was originally planning to do, because it is now announced. And we were going to talk about the story of the name of the show Invasion on the 7th, which is next week, right? And the name was Invasion, and we know what it's playing into with the WCW Invasion and all of that. And it's a nostalgia name, and everything was fine. Then the story broke that the Israeli government was upset with the name being Invasion on October the 7th. Now, for those who don't understand what October the 7th is, it would be the 2-year anniversary of the attack from Hamas onto Israel, essentially their 9/11. And I want to preface this. I saw the chant from Ireland fans. They were somewhere in the UK. I don't know if it was in Ireland where this was taking place or if they were just from Ireland. But there was a pro Hamas, pro Palestine, um, like protest going on in the UK somewhere, and these people from Northern Ireland, they were chanting something along the lines of, you can stick your Palestine up your hole, or something like that. Something hilarious. And guess what? That's exactly how I feel about Palestine, right? It's how I feel about Hamas. It's how I feel about this attack. It was wrong. It was evil. Blatantly evil. But with that being said, I think it's insane. Like I'm always anti, like, conspiracy. Like, I believe some conspiracy theories are, there's a little bit of truth to them, right? But I've never truly bought into, well, that's a lie. Just back up. I went down a rabbit hole a couple years ago where I started to buy into Israel being, like the Jews being evil. And then I realized how stupid the theory was. The idea that, like, Jews control the entertainment industry and the Jews control the world. You know, I don't think that's a real theory. I don't think it's true. I think that there are things that Jews are really good at, you know, skill-wise, that lead to what they're good with money. There's a stereotype for a reason. They're frugal. They're good with money. It's no wonder why they tend to be a little bit richer. They tend to be in high power positions because they are hard workers for the most part, right? But it's hard to not say, see, Israel wins again. When they complain and are upset and force a name change of a entertainment product that is watched by probably 600,000 people, if that, on a weekly basis, that you're so offended by a name that has no reference to the actual invasion of Israel, I think it's kind of insane. 100%. Now, I'm not going to buy into this whole narrative that the IWC did or something where it's bad optics because they take blood money from the Saudis, and so that must be why they named it Invasion. No, they named it Invasion because they're trying to play off the nostalgia push of the WCW-WWE Invasion after they bought out WCW. That's exactly what they're trying to put. Anyway, they've changed the show name to NXT Showdown. I don't hate the name. Again, none of it really matters. I just think it's kind of crazy that NXT caught the attention of foreign governments and was forced to change their name because of it. What I really, though, want to talk about is what I hope happens because of NXT Showdown and the TNA Showdown and the partnership. And what I hope happens is, this is all leading towards Bound for Glory, and what I hope happens is Bound for Glory is the first event from TNA on a newly established Peacock deal that also will air the TNA Impact TV programming, either on USA or on Peacock. Either way would work, or airing it on CW, whatever it is. I want TNA to sort of fill up the mantle on Peacock that the main roster left. I think it would make it extremely accessible to watch, as well as continue the partnership with NXT through a common partner in NBC Universal. That's my genuine hope for the Invasion angle, is that it ultimately, I don't care about the booking. I think Sean and the TNA crew will figure this out and it will be fine. And I'm just going to be here along for the ride. I think eventually it's going to lead to Santana at Bound for Glory winning the TNA championship. But yeah, as far as my hopes is more business side, I just hope it leads to a good, accessible TV deal for the TNA product. The second thing I want to talk about as far as wrestling is there's this rumor that John Cena's final date is December the 13th and that Tony Khan always runs World's End the last weekend in December. And so people are starting to suggest, could John Cena run one final retirement event for AEW, some grand match, maybe potentially against Adam Copeland or something along that line? Is this a possibility? I'm not going to say no, because it's always a possibility. I just think it's highly unlikely. I do. I think Cena, as much as the booking hasn't been good, I don't think Cena is as upset as everyone assumes that he is because of the bad booking. I don't know what I imagined Cena's final run looking like outside of what we've already got. I don't know how you could do better. You've given him, you know, the title. You got the heel turn. You got the record. It was 17. You had the match. I think they had one with Orton, right? You had the match with Orton. You had the match with Brock. Edge is the only other major opponent, and again, he's in AEW. You know, you're getting AJ Styles at Crown Jewel. So I don't necessarily know what else more you could have asked for a retirement tour for John Cena. Is it a possibility? Sure. Do I really care? No, I don't. I'm not interested in him going to AEW. Could really care less. If he does, he does. But I highly doubt that he'll pull that type of move. Next story is we're going to come back to Jasmine Nix, who was written off of TV last week on Tuesday, and her contract's done. She didn't re-sign because of money. She says it wasn't enough, and it's coming out somewhere around $75,000 a year, which, if you understand that they have to do their own travel and insurance and they're independent contractors, so they got to save money for tax. But along with all of that, like, if I was offered $75,000 a year to come work for WWE and to work the type of schedule she put in, where she was hardly ever in the ring, but she was more of a valet, I don't know. I don't know what she thought her earning potential was. She wasn't really being used anyway, so I don't necessarily think it's that big of a loss. Was she a smoke show? Absolutely. She could have had that Maxine Dupri role, and I think she would have played very well into that role. I think it's crazy for her to sit there and act like it, earning more than $75K in her position, knowing that she's already blown out a knee or I think she's been hurt already, and she hasn't necessarily progressed in the ring at all. She's good to look at. Like, she was truly a baddie of all baddies, but like, that's not what you're being paid for, especially in a women's division where you have baddies lining up all the way down, all the way through through developmental and everything in the PC. Like, you're easily replaceable, right? And I think people need to recognize that when you're easily replaceable for someone who's willing to work for less money, that immediately makes you worth less. You have to make yourself not replaceable. Why does Roman Reigns, because this got brought up by James, that Roman Reigns makes millions and hardly ever shows up. Why does he get... Because you know what Roman Reigns did? Roman Reigns made himself irreplaceable. There was no one who could take his spot, so to keep him on the roster, you have to pay him a lot of money. Jasmine Nix is not irreplaceable. In fact, I don't think there's a lot of people in the WWE who are irreplaceable. I just don't. I think Roman's one of them. I think Seth is irreplaceable. I think Cody's irreplaceable. Brock Lesnar's irreplaceable in that whenever he's there, he draws seats and asses, and not many people have the drawing power of a Brock Lesnar. In the women's division, I personally think Bianca Belair's irreplaceable. I think Jade's irreplaceable. And to be honest with you, Tiffany's replaceable. She is. Both your champions right now. As much as I love Stephanie Vaquer, she's replaceable. She hasn't stuck out in a way that we're like, we need to have her. Right? Now, you would love to have her on your roster, but when it comes to push comes to shove, you don't need her on the roster. You see what I'm saying? And so you don't need a Jasmine Nix on the NXT roster when you have a whole line of women lining up in the Performance Center and Evolve and ID and the NIL program, which we're about to talk about, in NXT already. You have so many women already lining up. You have potential free agents lining up where you're easily replaceable, right? Blake Monroe, Mariah May, is earning millions because she has made herself irreplaceable in a way. I think she is replaceable, but she put herself in a position in AEW to where in order for her to come to, like she built value in her branding, where Jasmine Nix didn't have that value. And so I don't know what more she expected to make. Let's be realistic. We know exactly what she's going to do. She'll be on OnlyFans. She'll make her 300 whatever thousand a year. She'll think she did something, and she'll give up her dignity to sell herself to Tylenol Timmies, who have money to spend that for whatever reason to buy bikini photos of women on the internet. I think it's a little bit weird again, but I just, okay. But speaking of NIL, I have to respond to Junkyard James. You know, he's my brother. Cody is a friend. Now, Cody wasn't part of this episode, but James on his solo episode on Saturday essentially said that NIL was a failure. Now, here's how I know he doesn't understand the NIL program. First off, there's only been like four people signed to NIL deals that have even showed up on WWE programming. You had Gable Steveson, you have Obafemi, you have Tank Ledger, and I think that might be the only three that have signed with the NIL. I know the Cavenders were on in like in the crowd type scene, but as far as actually becoming wrestlers that have had right, so we need to understand what the NIL program is. So let's break this down, right? The NIL system, is essentially a pipeline system. It's not a contract to WWE. It is using the NCAA's ability to sell your image and likeness for money that you're now allowed to do, to sell your name, your image, and your likeness for college athletes. It is essentially saying, we're going to support you while you play college athletics. And when you finish college, you automatically have an opportunity to try out for a contract. Right? So here's what it is. You leverage current student athletes to continue their athletic careers via pro wrestling. You have a pipeline of talent here, right? But it doesn't guarantee them a contract. Let's just understand that. By signing the NIL deal, they're not guaranteed a contract in NXT. We understand that, right? What this also does is it builds the brand of the student athlete. WWE's branding is huge, right? It's extremely strong globally. And what it does is it provides the student athlete with resources and opportunities to develop their brand, develop their skills, and to develop their name, image, and likeness while still being in college. Right? This includes, so the essentially all this is we are going to provide for you an opportunity to build your brand. And here's some of the things that an NIL deal consists of. You have access to the Performance Center. You have media training. You have brand building classes. Right. And again, you then also have the opportunity when you go, when you finish college, if you don't make it pro. So, for example, defensive end for Arkansas, Landon Jackson, who went, I believe, in the second round in this, in 2025's draft, right? He was an NIL athlete. If he didn't get drafted, he would have had the opportunity to try out for WWE, right? Like I said, a large percentage of the people who have signed NIL deals, A, didn't try out, B, tried out and didn't make it, which I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of them just didn't try out. Or C, they're still in college. So they haven't been able to be in the Performance Center. In the official context to be in NXT. The only two, you have Tank Ledger, you have Obafemi. Of course, you had Gable Stevenson. Sure, that was a failure, but I think it was destined to be a failure from the beginning. I'm just going to be honest. He didn't have charisma at all. Whereas when Tank Ledger, who, you know, his real name is Joe Spivak, when he signed with NIL, he was in the first class, and he was the only one who announced by doing a WWE-style vignette promo. And I knew that the second he signed, he announced that through that promo, he was going to be in the WWE. I just knew it. He wasn't good enough to be in the NFL. He played for Northwestern, right, as an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, I don't remember. But he wasn't really like a big name. But I knew he had charisma from this promo, and I knew he was going to be a star in WWE, right? This program, the NIL program, is not a failure because it does exactly what it's designed to do. You have a potential pipeline of students continually as you sign new NIL athletes every year that can potentially be, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line when they're out of college, when they're done with collegiate sports, and you give them the opportunity to have a job, that's a big opportunity. It's far from a failure. What he's more so pointing at is the athlete pipeline, that it now then includes people like Kalani Jordan and Sol Ruka and Jada Parker, who weren't necessarily NIL athletes, but they got tryouts because they were athletes in and of themselves. But Sol Ruka is one of the most talented women on the roster. Currently a double champion. Kalani Jordan is TNA champion. Jada Parker's been in the main event scene for several years, going to be a potential, right, I don't know how James can sit here and say that NIL was a failure. It just shows me that he doesn't understand what NIL is. It's the NIL deals, right? You talk about like the Cavenders. The Cavenders are still in college. They took like 2 years off. They're like on their seventh year in college. They still have one final year of eligibility. Technically, when they're done, they're not going to go pro. They're 27 years old, I think, at this point. They're not going to go pro. I'm sorry, they're 24. They might go pro. But at this point, like, I don't know. I just feel like, again, they're social media personalities that play college basketball, right? But that's exactly what the NIL program is for, is to get your name, image, and likeness out there so that you have a career outside of the sport if you don't make it pro, right? And I don't think they're going to make it pro, right? Then maybe they'll come to WWE. Who knows? I highly doubt they want to. You know, the Cavenders don't have to sign this contract. Why would you bump when you already have a following of over millions of people, right? But it's also like half of their development pipeline. They also have WWE ID, which identifies indie development, right? And so they have their independent scene that they have their pipeline from. And they, again, it's just a negative thing. Because Jasmine Nix didn't make it, apparently you just have to forget about the fact that Obafemi was NXT champion for over 200 days and had one of the greatest reigns as NXT champion in current history, in current memory, and is probably going to be the next, or has the potential to be the next big, you know, monster in WWE. So I just, what are you talking about that it's not working? And I don't know. I think it's funny coming from someone whose favorite company doesn't develop superstars. You sign already trained superstars. You have a lot of bad habits, by the way. And then you don't develop them into a style. You got to understand that WWE runs a different style. They're not training you to be pro wrestlers. They're training you to be they're training you to be entertainers, which leads to one final comment he made, where essentially along the lines that this program doesn't create people who are passionate about wrestling. And I need to just break this bubble. Do you think that Stone Cold Steve Austin, he played football and that's what he wanted to do, but he couldn't do it? And Terry Bollea wanted to play football. Your big star, Hogan, and a lot of these star people, they were wrestlers because it was literally the only thing they could do to make money. Like the 60s, 70s, 80s wrestlers, I'm 100% certain didn't go out there to bump and grind and do everything they did for the love of the sport. I'm sure some of them loved it. But a lot of them did it so that they could get paid, so that they could take care of themselves and take care of their families. And honestly, that's the way you have to treat any job. If you go to work every day thinking, you know, and you bought into this corporate bullshit lie that you have to be passionate about what you do. Nah, bro, I clock in not because I love what I do. Which, hey, let me tell you something. I like my job. I don't hate it. But it's not the reason I clock in every morning. I clock in every morning because I want to get paid. I literally do it for the money. And if the money disappeared, I ain't showing up to work, right? I'm not one of those people that are like, they don't even have to pay me. I'm just so passionate. This is what I love to do. Not in my current employment. Then there's really no job that I will ever feel that way about. I come to work to make money. That should be the only reason you work for. Not because you have passion for the game. That's great. James, you would be surprised at how many current wrestlers could care two fucks about, excuse my language, could give two cares about the business. You would be surprised how many NFL players don't care about football. That once they step off the field, their off-season's anything but football. When they retire, they stop caring about football. There's some like that. Not everyone's going to be Osprey that I do this for the love of the game type thing. That's probably the minority, by the way. But speaking of football, let's talk about football. So first, can we stop with these international games? 9 o'clock kickoffs Eastern time is a pain in the butt. Especially when the games aren't really all that good. They're crappy teams that no one cares about. I don't know. Can we just stop with the international game? Can we just... I don't know. I just wanted to make that outburst. I don't really have a point for it. Can we stop with the international games? And then secondly, Bad Bunny is the halftime show at the Super Bowl, and I'm going to turn it off. To be honest with you, I don't care about Bad Bunny. It is what it is. Cool. That's literally my reaction. Week 4, a decent week. We had a couple good games. A couple injuries happened. You know, Tyreek, I think, is out for the year now, right? Something like that. That happened yesterday. I want to go to Patriots Corner. I want to talk about the Patriots. And I want to talk about the fact that I am 100% convinced that the Patriots should be 4-0. Take away the turnovers. We've had probably 7 turnovers that have cost us games. And really the 2 losses that we have. We turned the ball over 6 times week 3 against the Steelers. We lost by 7. I think Drake May had an interception week 1 that should have been a drive that was going towards a touchdown that would have tied the game. We should have beaten the Raiders. We should have beaten the Steelers. The Patriots should be 4-0. The Patriots team that I watched on Sunday, I get it. I know it's the Panthers. But this is the Panthers team coming off a dominant win at home against the Falcons that, you know, I was kind of scared that of this game that the Panthers were going to come in and continue that. And the Patriots just dominate. This defense is good. Drake May is 6th in passing yards. He's about 12 short of 1,000. He has 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got like 3 rushing touchdowns so far this year. He can do everything. I'm not saying we have the guy, but I think we have the guy here in New England. This Patriots team is good. And we have the Bills this week on Sunday Night Football. And assuming that we have 2 games against the Bills remaining in the season, we have a game against the Ravens, which is interesting. But outside of that, we have an easy schedule going forward. I think this Patriots team, let's just say we lose the 2 against the Bills and the 1 against the Ravens, that'll put us at 5 losses, and we're still looking at 12-5, which I think is a good season for certain. And that's kind of where I had his preseason ranked, by the way. I'm not convinced we're losing on Sunday. I think this team is good enough to beat the Bills. Which leads me to my deep 5. So let's start at number 5. Again, now, I want to remind everyone, this is best team, best 5 teams of that week. It's not of the years, not of the season so far. It's the best 5 teams of that week. What was the best 5 teams of week 4? We're going to start at number 5, the Houston Texans. 26-0 win again. And I get it. It's Cam Ward. It's the Titans. But 26-0 win, when I'm pretty sure, if I remember the odds correctly from Sunday, they were underdogs. So it's an upset win. And you kept a shutout. Like, even the best teams in the NFL score points, and you shut out the Titans. Are the Texans making the playoffs anytime soon? No. But I think we got to give them their props for how they played this one individual game on this one individual week. Number four, the Bills. They won, but this is like the third week in a row they've struggled against talent they should have absolutely destroyed. The Saints are the worst team in football. You should have manhandled this team, and instead, you struggled for like three quarters, and then finally, when it came to life for you, you won the game. Number three are the Lions. Not much to say. They play Cleveland. They handled business. They did what they needed to do. They're the Lions. I still think, ultimately, they're the best team in football, but not the best team of this week. Number two to me is my New England Patriots. We just did what I've already went over. This team is fantastic. Very good. When we hold on to the football, we don't turn it over. We play smart football. This team is very good. Right? The things that are killing the Patriots this year are turnovers and penalties. Without turnovers and penalties, the Patriots are undefeated. I think the Patriots had the best week this week, but here's why they're not number one. Because my number one is the Kansas City Chiefs, and it all comes down to the level of competition. They beat the Ravens, and I get it. Lamar got hurt, didn't play most of the second half. But you still manhandled one of the preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, I think the Chiefs, because of who they were playing, that's why they're number one. So, again, one Chiefs, two Patriots, three Lions, four Bills, five Texans. And the people are like, well, what about the Eagles? They barely won. They shouldn't have won. They got, right, you about gave up the lead, right, and I don't really know of any other teams that are worthy of a spot on this list. I'm just going to be honest with you. All right, let's go into our predictions for this week five slate of games. We're in bye week now. I don't know who's on bye weeks this week. I know the Packers are and the Steelers are. We'll pick these games here. We start with Thursday night football. Niners going to L.A. to play the Rams. And I'm 100% picking the Rams to win this game. Vikings at Cleveland in London, England. I'm picking the Vikings because they're already over there. They don't have to change any scheduling or anything like that. So I'm picking the Vikings. Raiders going to the Colts. I like the Colts, man. They're a good team. Picking them to win. Giants, Saints. I'm picking the Giants. No Malik Nabers, though, is going to be interesting. Cowboys, Jets. I'm picking the Jets. I don't like this Cowboys team, I'm going to be honest. And that's the second thing I want to talk about. While we're talking about the Cowboys, I'm just remembering I didn't write this down because I just thought of this. Can we stop with ties? There should not be a single tie in an NFL game. They need to adopt college football rules for overtime. I'm tired of all this overtime discussion, and I know we've already changed it. They got to run college football style overtime. Each team gets the ball at the 25-yard line, right? And you keep going until you have a winner. No extra points, none of that. You go for two when you score a touchdown, right? You keep going until you get a winner. Having ties is insanely stupid. Anyway, Denver at Philadelphia. I am picking Denver. This Philly team is not good to me. It just isn't. It's decent. I don't think it's the best team in the league, though. And I think Denver is going to surprise them with the victory. Miami and Carolina. I'm picking Carolina. But I don't know. This game's going to suck. Houston, Baltimore. I'm picking Baltimore. Tennessee and Arizona. I'll pick the Cardinals. Tampa at Seattle. I'm going to pick Tampa. Detroit playing the Bengals in Cincinnati. We'll pick Detroit. Washington playing the Chargers in L.A. How is that? Oh, okay, that's right, because the Rams are playing on Thursday. That's why. So the Chargers and the Rams both play at home the same week. It's going to be interesting. I am going to pick the Chargers. Sunday Night Football, Patriots, Bills. I know this is going to be crazy to some of y'all. I'm going to I'm picking the Patriots. I'm standing by what I said in the preseason. We're going to sweep the Bills. This team is good. They've shown me enough to prove that we can win this game. I don't care about all of this. They're wearing their all whites. They're wanting to do a whiteout with the fans in Buffalo because apparently there's a blizzard in the middle of October when it's not snow season yet. But let's just understand, snow melts in May. Drake May, that is. Under pressure, the Patriots will win this game. Monday Night Football, Jaguars at home against the Chiefs. Part of me wants to pick the Jags and go long shot because they're 3-1, and who would have imagined that? But we're going to be smart, and we'll pick the Chiefs. Hopefully, I can have a good week in predictions this week because the last two haven't been good. We went, right? But anyway, that is our football conversation. We are going to end the show with questions from Discord. I'm not going to read the promo that I created because it was long and annoying. I want to take this time, though, to remind you all about Clear Protein Powder. 20% off at clearprotein.com. /slappingmeat. Let's just go and talk about these questions. So we'll talk about the serious questions first because we got some unserious, cool questions from the group. We'll talk about them last. B-Master asks, was there a particular wrestler or match that drew you into wrestling? Daniel Bryan, to be honest with you, I've told this story numerous times. Started watching wrestling in 2014 as like a true fan, and Daniel Bryan's story leading up to Mania 30 is what sort of drew me back and kept me interested. And so that could be my answer. He then says, you're attending a WWE live event and you're selected to win the tag team championships alongside a wrestler of your choice from the current roster. Who are you picking? I wanted to clarify, does this have to be male or can we do mixed tag? And it wasn't a no for mixed tag, so we're going to go and create the WWE Mixed Tag Champions. And my partner, who we win the tag team mixed tag team champions with, is Sol Ruka. That's who I'll pick. Sol Ruka all day. Now, if I had to pick a male, I don't know. Who would I win the tag titles with? I think I would make a good team with... let's do Bronson Reed. We'll pick Bronson Reed. Me and Bronson Reed could win the titles as well. But the official answer is Sol Ruka, and we're mixed tag champions. Me and Sol Ruka. All right, now let's go to the fun questions. So we'll start with B-Master's fun question. He said, what animal do you think compares to you and why? I'm going to get a little bit nerdy with you on this one. I have an actual answer for this. And it's not one that, like, so typically I would probably have just picked my favorite animal, which is the chimp. Chimpanzees are my favorite animal. They're fun animals. If they wouldn't rip my face off, I would like to own one. But I'm going to be a little bit more meta, a little bit more like, let's think deep about this. And we're going to go for the hawk. Now, why the hawk? So hawks are known for razor sharp eyesight. They can see details from great distances that others miss. which mirrors how I tend to drill deep into subject matter, spotting angles or inconsistencies that people just gloss over, right? But they're also independent, but they have a purpose. Hawks often hunt alone rather than in packs. Not in a loner for no reason sense, but because their strength lies in their autonomy and their precision, which lines up with how I think for myself and don't buy into what the crowd says. They have strategic patience. Hawks don't waste energy flapping around nonstop. It circles, studies, and waits for the exact moment to act, which is how I analyze situations. I'm not rash. I try to get all the information, and I try to be strategic with the when I decide to move. Hawks have a commanding presence. They don't need to puff themselves up to be noticed. Their sharpness and confidence carry authority without a lot of extra noise. Similarly to how I come across, measured but with weight when I speak. And then finally, across cultures, hawks symbolize insight, vigilance, and a higher perspective. The ability to rise above and see the big picture, which reflects how I often zoom out to challenge cultural assumptions. In short, I'm a hawkish, not in the aggressive sense, but in the fact that I am discerning, sharp-sighted, and independent. And then the final question is sort of a two-parter from Kara. The first is a hot dog a sandwich? The second is cereal soup? So we'll take cereal first. The answer is no. Soup is hot, and it's cooked, and it's meat, right? In order to be soup, you have to have a broth, you have to have meat of some kind, and you have to be cooked. Cereal is neither of those qualifications. So we'll go ahead and end that. Cereal is not a soup. Now, is a hot dog a sandwich? This we're going to answer this very deeply. It depends on what we define sandwich as. If by sandwich being bread and meat, I guess you could say that a hot dog is a sandwich. But then we also have to take a look at how does culture look at what is the common usage of hot dog? So, the hot dog is, in substance, a sandwich, for it partakes of bread and meat. Yet, by common usage, in distinction of kinds, it is accounted not among the sandwiches, but set apart as its own order. Let's make that not so complicated. Let's make it a little bit more complicated. First, in substance, the hot dog is a sandwich, but in administration or usage, it is not reckoned among them. For although a hot dog contains meat and bread, and thus shares in the nature of a sandwich, it has been set apart by common usage and custom as another kind of food group. To confuse the two is to confound the categories which were established from the beginning of time. My actual answer is no. A hot dog is not a sandwich. Mainly because culture doesn't assign it as a sandwich. Right. So I don't think it is one. But that's that. That's the slapping me wrestling. I went back several months. Slapping me community show. Let me finish this properly. It's been a long day. That was the slapping me community show. Thank you all for watching. Like, share, subscribe. Don't forget, link in the bio, show notes, whatever you want to call it. 20% off clear protein powder, sugar-free, gluten-free, no milk needed, just add water. 20% off at the link in the bio or show notes or description, whatever you call it. Or just go to clearprotein.com/discounts/slapping. Meat, I'm way too deep. Thank you all for listening. Until the next time, I'll see you on the next one.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.